Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's hard enough to stay safe during a global pandemic with so many worries and concerns about the deadly coronavirus. But what about those health concerns that were there long before the pandemic? This is the time of year children, for example, would usually get vaccinations and booster shots. But fear of COVID-19 is calling doctor visits into question for a lot of families. And tonight, we're talking about that and many of the other non-COVID-19 health concerns impacting our community during the pandemic. Joining me to talk about this are my guests, Dr. Omichair Idoko-Forrester and cardiologist Dr. Sheila Woodhouse, both of them from the new University of Maryland Capital Region National Harbor Practice in Oxon Hill. Are you concerned about your other health issues during the pandemic, and what are you doing or perhaps not doing about it? We'd like to hear from you tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are certainly welcome to tweet us at WHURFM. Dr. Forrester, Dr. Woodhouse, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to talk first of all about this issue regarding children. As you are both aware, and I'm a father, although my daughter is long out of school, that usually, again, as I said, at this time of year, under normal circumstances, there would be all kinds of reports in the news and press releases going out from the public school systems. Make sure that your children are immunized. Make sure they have their booster shots or else they cannot attend school. And they would give them 30 days and the like. But now, under this pandemic, with so many schools in this region starting the fall virtually, that a lot of parents are either forgetting or saying, never mind. Dr. Forrester, good idea or bad idea under these circumstances?
Well, I think that's actually a bad idea. Postponing vaccination puts Maryland children at risk of preventable infections. We have vaccines for several communicable diseases that we've had for years, and we know the safety and efficacy of all of these vaccines. So it's important that the children are not falling behind with their vaccination, and this will keep them protected when they do resume full-time attendance with school. But it's very, very important to keep up to date with all of your vaccines.
Talk to me a little bit about what would normally happen right about now, right in August, under normal circumstances. What age group, for example, are we talking about, and what should they get normally, and even under these pandemic situations?
Well, normally right now, a lot of the practices, whether they're pediatric practices or family practice offices like mine, we will be seeing children from regular school ages up to 18 years of age. They will come in with their school physical forms. They will come in from their well-child visits, where we would not only screen them for different conditions, depression, STDs, tobacco, alcohol use, but we will also make sure that they are also up to date with all of their immunizations and preparing them to resume school in the fall. And also, we will also be seeing college-age students as well and doing physicals to prepare them to start college. So this is what normally we will see outside of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I know we often talk about MMR for those parents who have heard of it, and even for those who have not. Talk to me about what MMR is.
MMR is a vaccine for the measles, mumps, and rubella. It's actually three vaccines in one, and it's part of the routine screening that we give children in preparation for them. There are different age groups where we try to make sure that they are up to date with those two vaccines. It does involve two doses, to make sure that you're completely immunized. And so it's one of the series of vaccines that we give them. And there are some vaccines that come together as a combo where you would see children get their MMR and their chickenpox varicella vaccines at the same time.
I want to drill down just a little bit more before I bring Dr. Woodhouse in, because what we have seen even pre-pandemic, and I'm sure you both remember, that there were instances in New York, in the Hasidic Jewish community and others who did not immunize their children against measles. And we've had measles outbreaks. And people have a tendency to forget just how contagious measles is. Can you talk to me a little bit, not only about that, the mumps, but also about rubella? Because a lot of people say, well, you know, I know about the mumps, I know about the measles, but what is rubella? Talk to me, first of all, about the measles.
Well, the measles is a highly contagious infection. Now, years, we didn't have a vaccine to treat children for the measles. But now we've had the combination vaccine, like I mentioned earlier, to treat. It's highly contagious. There's certain symptoms you expect to see if you should have a measles infection, between a rash and a cough. But it's very rare that we would have people actually have a breakout because we have the vaccine. So this is why it's so important to stress the importance of vaccination to prevent these outbreaks from happening. And certain communities and certain countries don't have access to what we have here in the United States in terms of vaccines. So you would see outbreaks occurring in some of these places.
Mm-hmm. And the mumps, my father had the mumps. When I remember that clearly when I was a kid. Contagious also, what is it?
Well, the mumps is an infection also that affects some of your glands, your lymph nodes. And in combination with the measles, mumps, and rubella, there is a vaccine to treat that. Again, these things are really rare that we see in the community because we have the vaccines. So a lot of cases that we see are from people with either low immune system who were not properly immunized with the MMR. And then you would see cases where it would also affect your genital area with certain issues. You've seen people with enlarged genital areas from infection from the mumps.
Ouch. Rubella. Yeah. What is rubella? I've heard about it, never really knew what that was.
Okay. Rubella is a viral infection, and we are very concerned about that infection, especially with pregnant women. Mm. You can see complications if you have women who have children and end up with rubella birth defects. You see some harm that may occur to unborn babies. It's better known as what we call the German measles. So it's similar to the measles, but it's, okay, it's more or less the German measles. And you would see the rash, typical rash. You see enlarged lymph nodes. You see certain symptoms that affect someone who have it. But again, it's also very rare in the United States because, again, we have the vaccines for it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about making sure that you are as healthy as you possibly can be in the midst of this deadly pandemic, and what you should not be doing in the event that we are focusing on those non-COVID-19 issues. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you're worried about going to see the doctor right now, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Woodhouse, talk to me, if you can, about this new facility, the National Harbor Practice at Oxon Hill. News broke about that last month or so. It's a big facility. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's a multi-specialty facility that's meant to kind of bring a new paradigm to the southern aspect of Maryland and providing quality comprehensive care in one umbrella, under one roof, under one umbrella, across multiple continuums, from children to the seniors, from plastic surgery to MySpace cardiology. And I think that the location is critical to catch net the Prince George's County area as well as other surrounding metro communities while we prepare for the hospital in the Largo area to open in 2021.
Mm-hmm. No, please continue.
Well, I just think it's a unique opportunity in the midst of COVID, being that the reality is that this pandemic prior, clearly there are high-risk individuals in the community, and my concern as cardiologist in regard to capturing those patients with traditional risk factors, and now with COVID, it's caused a disruption, really, in ambulatory and outpatient setting, and I think being a new facility with this new focus creates a unique opportunity for Capital Region Health and the community of Prince George's County and surrounding areas. Being able to roll out and be available to the community during this critical time. You know, we have many patients who have are apprehensive about seeking health medical care, are concerned about just in general, the access to care. And I think putting the facility here, having greater access with specialists and primary care providers is going to be beneficial to everyone during this COVID time and post-COVID.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned 2021. When will this medical center be open for business, for patients and the like?
Well, the ambulatory setting is open now.
Okay.
And you can call the number to schedule an appointment tomorrow. I'm sure everyone would welcome the patients being seen. So we're ready for business now.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, and you as a cardiologist, particularly as it relates to people of color, just about any comorbid underlying condition, whatever you want to describe it during the pandemic, is of concern. And a lot of people are not going to see their doctors. Certainly there's a lot of information that is out there that has come out over the past couple of months about whether or not your doctor is even going to be available for that kind of thing because of, you know, doctors, lending a hand to help deal with the difficulties of the pandemic. Dr. Woodhouse, talk to me about what your patients are telling you when you talk to them about, you know, Mrs. Jones, we need to come in and check your ticker. And Mrs. Jones says, my ticker is just fine where it is. What do you tell her?
Well, I think it is our job as health professionals in any health system to kind of be conscious and cognizant of the fears that exist. I mean, it's the reality. But I think it's important as well to balance that with the concern that if you delay access in dealing with a cardiovascular emergency and or some symptoms of concern, whether it's chest pain, shortness of breath, heart rhythm issues, then really your long-term prognosis and or outcome may be worse. So I think here at the National Harbor, we have taken on very specific things to make sure that visit is safe. And so we are doing face-to-face visits, but putting precautions in place. And I think reassuring the patients and walking them through the steps ahead of time and answering, being available to answer any questions they may have as it relates to their concerns, because they're justified and they're valid, depending on their what their prior experiences are. But when you're looking at a cardiovascular patient, whether they're old or young, it's one of those kind of red flags that the CDC has said, stay home. You need to be careful, limit your, the social distancing. And that creates a bigger problem.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about making sure that you are healthy as you can be during this pandemic and trying to allay some of the fears that some of you may have about going to see your doctor during the pandemic. Some of you certainly are worried about catching COVID while trying to deal with some other health concerns. Let's go to Josie. Josie calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Josie. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
So I think it was Dr. Woodcock that just mentioned that at National Harbor, patients are able to come in for a face-to-face visit to have their routine checkups and have those routine visits that they would originally have outside of COVID. I see an endocrinologist because I have a goiter, and I was recently trying to connect with my endocrinologist via a virtual doctor's visit, and we, you know, the timing of, you know, the patient as a patient trying to learn the system and be set up and to connect with the doctor, we kind of missed each other, and that visit didn't happen. So I wanted to understand from the two doctors how, I guess, how they are incorporating virtual visits and how effective do they think those virtual visits are for managing just those routine checkups, for example, if you have a goiter that, you know, you're that's being followed up closely by an endocrinologist.
Okay, Dr. Forster, I'll let you start with that. I've got about 2 minutes before the break. Josie, I'll let you listen. Thank you so much. Go right ahead, Dr. Forster.
Yes. Now, in lieu of not being able to physically come into your doctor's office to be seen, we do offer telemedicine options here at the National Harbor location. And telemedicine option is available to anyone who may have poor access to a physician or access to healthcare. Now, we do offer it in terms of a video visit as well as a phone visit. So I understand that the caller had a little bit of difficulty, she said, navigating the system. Well, with the National Harbor, there are two options. It can be a video or it could be a phone. So it does help to mitigate the disparity and the lack of access to see your provider. It's not a replacement for coming in because it's still important to get blood tests done, vaccines to be administered. It's still important for a physical exam to be done to address certain specific condition issues, but it allows you to still be able to talk to your doctor regarding issues as far as chronic conditions, you know, to report as far as how everything is going with your diabetes, how your blood sugar numbers are looking. And in the case of this caller here, she needs to be seen by a specialist. With a goiter, she actually needs to be able to have some kind of visual interaction with her provider, and that's what telemedicine actually offers.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the ambulatory services, what is available, how you can stay safe while you're also trying to stay healthy during the pandemic. Lines are still open. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, as always, all the way up until 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Don't forget you can hear this and every Daily Drum program via podcast on WHUR.com. It's every night after 9 o'clock. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds on Sirius XM. This is Harold Fisher. We are talking about being healthy and maintaining your health-related appointments that have nothing whatsoever to do with COVID-19 health concerns during this pandemic. Are you concerned about it? Are you worried that going in to see your doctor may not be as safe as just staying home? It certainly is not the case. But if you have any concerns about this, now's the time to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My guests are Dr. Omichair Idoko Forrester and cardiologist Dr. Sheila Woodhouse, both of them from the new University of Maryland Capital Region National Harbor Practice in Oxon Hill. Again, if you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. So earlier, we had a guest who was talking about, you know, face-to-face versus virtual or video appointments. There is, as you mentioned, at the National Harbor Practice, ambulatory services, outpatient services. Talk to me a little bit more about what is immediately available right now, specifically, Dr. Woodhouse, if you can.
I'm sorry, do you mean just in general?
Yes,
or as
yeah.
it relates to cardiology?
Well, just in general.
In general.
I mean, not everybody has a heart that they need to worry about, but
exactly.
I'm sure there are some other things that they probably do need to be concerned
sure,
about.
Sure, I mean, we have bariatric specialists here. There's neurologists, ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctors, a pulmonologist. There's plastic surgery and women's health, as well as primary care specialists at this point. There's a nutritionist on site, and I'm sure there'll be other specialties along the way.
So help me with something.
Harold, I would just like to
Yes, please, go right ahead.
What Dr. Woodhouse mentioned. We also have a lab facility in-house where, again, the goal is to make this as comfortable and safe for not only the patients but the staff, and the ability for all the parents and the patients to get everything done when you do come in. We do offer what we call staggered patient appointments at this location, where, you know, if you want to have your patients come in that are pediatric in the morning or in the afternoon, we maintain these staggered appointments in order to reduce a congested waiting area. Mm-hmm. We have things in place as far as temperature checks and COVID screening for everyone that comes in at check-in. And all the staff and the patients are required to wear face masks at all times. We have a plexiglass panel at our check-in and check-out areas that, you know, helps to maintain that separation and social distancing. There's enhanced cleaning of all the exam rooms and tables and equipment between every single patient. Hand sanitizers are available, okay, and disposable pens are available to fill out any necessary forms, but we do self-checking to minimize a lot of the paperwork that needs to be done. So we're very vested in the safety and putting all these measures in place in order to make it comfortable for a lot of our parents and patients to actually come in for their face-to-face appointments at this location.
You said self-checking. What is that?
Well, just like we mentioned with the telehealth, there is access online to actually get your insurance information put in, to get registered. So a lot of people opt to do their self-check-in and then come in with their minimal stuff like their insurance information, their IDs, but they do all their preliminary checking ahead of time, entering all their information online into a patient portal interface.
And is that, so that is at the medical center?
Yes, it is. It's available.
So this is the thing that I think a lot of people are concerned about. And I'll give you an example, because a couple of months ago, I went to pick up my glasses, and they've been ready since March, but I wasn't able to pick them up until May because everything was shut down. And I went to my optician, and the way that they were doing things, and I felt really completely safe, was that you had to make an appointment, and then you pulled up to the building, and you sat in your car until they were ready for you, and then they sent you a text, and then you had to respond to the text, and you went, you know, to the sidewalk, and then they let you in, and, you know, they took your temperature, and it was a whole thing. But in being a whole thing, I felt really, really safe. But now, you know, we're talking about a new facility in a place that has, you know, historically, when I say Prince George's County, historically has not had enough medical services. And so I'm quite sure that as more people hear about this, you know, they're going to run to this place. And, you know, so what about other things? I mean, do you have the ability to have folks, you know, before your doctor calls you, to sit in the parking lot or any of those extra things that people are often so concerned about?
Yes, we do a lot of pre-screening through either phone calls in the very beginning. There's a lot of information that we're able to get before you even come into the practice. So a lot of these measures are being put in place at this facility to, like I said, ensure the safety of not only the patients but also the staff during the office visit.
You know, Dr. Forrester, have you had to, you know, had a, you know, a real heart-to-heart with some of your patients about bringing in the children or coming in themselves for whatever they may need because they are just scared?
Well, it's understandable that there's a certain level of anxiety. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and as you see the the cases of people who are testing positive are increasing. But the priority should always be maintaining good health. Prevention is a step towards cure. And I've always believed that, as my colleagues usually would say, your health conditions can't wait. Diabetes can't wait. High blood pressure can't wait. The health of your children, these things are important. They can't wait. So it's important to remember that if we maintain our health, which is a priority, and keep ourselves, you know, up to date with our vaccine, keep our conditions under control. These are things that we can do to keep ourselves healthy in the midst of this pandemic.
Is there anything that either one of you might say can wait a little while? I mean, you mentioned, you know, certainly, diabetes, high blood pressure, obviously top of the list, because as we know, there have been so many people who have died because they caught the coronavirus, but they had these underlying health conditions and they did not survive. But are there some things that may be able to wait a month or two or three that help me with that?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think I would say no, meaning that I think it becomes unsafe, whether it was pre-COVID, COVID, or post, for someone to second guess or minimize what they are experiencing at home because of fear or concern, regardless of what that is, because if you think something is not right or you don't feel well, you should seek care. I think the issue becomes, how do you access that care? I think by engaging your provider, making that telephone call and that initial triage, and working with your, not in lieu of, but working with your provider and the facility to decide what can wait and what cannot wait. But I think giving a list of things that can wait, especially from a cardiology perspective, I would not give. I think having that conversation to make that determination, whether that was a brief in person face-to-face and or a telehealth visit and or a phone call, I think would be crucial. And having access such that if what was deemed to be something that could wait would at home begin to escalate, you have immediate access and someone who already understands the foundation of your original symptoms such that you can have care in a more rapid format than it would be had you waited and you presented to the emergency room, which for all intents and purposes may be a different dynamic in regard to exposures to things.
You know, one of the things that we heard so much about and still continue to hear about the, you know, the pandemic as it relates to comorbid situations is obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure. But we've not heard a lot about heart disease. And I'm really curious about this, Dr. Woodhouse, because you know, we already know that, you know, heart disease is, you know, the number one, you know, killer of women of color. But combined with those who may be infected with the coronavirus, how much more risky is heart disease when compared to diabetes or high blood pressure or obesity? Where does it fall? Is it near the top and we just haven't mentioned it, or is it a little lower down but still certainly of concern?
I would say it's a continuum. It's all intertwined because everything you've mentioned, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, they're all risk factors for heart disease. So for all intents and purposes, they're the same, diabetes being a cardiovascular disease equivalent. So I would not say that cardiovascular disease was more concerning than diabetes and hypertension, because I think here, especially at the National Harbor, we see the whole patient, and from my perspective in regard to cardiology, and all of those things are as relevant And as important and as risky. So if you don't manage the weight, if you don't manage the blood pressure and the diabetes, then the heart disease may present itself sooner, may be more complex when it does present, and your outcomes may be worse. I think when you're speaking directly as it relates to COVID, the American College of Cardiology has taken a very strong stance in regard to updated guidelines, recommendations on how we handle the cardiovascular patient in the face of COVID, as well as the complications directly related to the virus in regard to inflammatory markers, thrombotic, meaning clots that can form, and their further risk of heart disease, as well as the lifestyle implications of COVID and its risk, meaning the stress associated with the virus, understanding just this pandemic and understanding that risk is stress is a risk factor for heart disease, or the poor nutrition and how that will aggravate elevated blood sugars and therefore, you know, precipitate the onset and or escalate type of symptoms that someone may have. So I would not say there's a rank order. I would say they're all relevant. And why it's nice to be in a facility with multiple specialties that you can kind of, again, take care of every aspect of that patient for optimal overall health and wellness.
Hmm. Now, here's a question. And please be honest. You know, this is I'm getting in your personal business now. We are now this is August. The pandemic officially hit the United States in late January. Shutdown began in March. Have either of you been to the dentist?
Yes, I have.
Tell me about that, or better yet, I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to hear about that experience going to the dentist in the midst of the pandemic, because I have a lot of questions about that. And I got to keep my pearly whites just like that. So I want to talk about that, but I'm going to take a break. Then we'll talk about that. I also have another question for you, Dr. Forrester, as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. We are talking about staying healthy during the pandemic. Before the break, I was asking our two guests, who's been to the dentist and what's that like? So I'll ask again, who's been to the dentist, Dr. Forrester or Dr. Woodhouse?
This is Dr. Woodhouse. I have.
Okay, so what was that like? And you didn't have any root canals or
No. Just a simple cleaning.
Okay.
But I, for honesty, because you asked me to be honest.
Yes, please.
Is I went to one, because I have two dentists, depending on one near work and one was at home, near home, that I went to one. No one had face masks on. They handed me a pen and gave me a clipboard and asked me to sit down. I said, I'll see you guys later. And because I didn't feel comfortable. So I went to I then scheduled an appointment with my other dentist. It was a completely different experience. They gave me ahead of time and told me that there would be a $10 fee for a $5 fee or something for extra PPE.
Really?
And did I agree to that? And I said yes. And they then met me, told me to wait in the car, and they came outside with their gloves, gave me a pair of gloves, checked my temperature, began to ask me multiple questions, and then they escorted me upstairs directly into a room. Where they then gave me additional gown. That's the cost for the additional PPE. They all had on face shields. They had on N95 and their own masks. They used nothing that they had, you know, multiple instruments that they use normally. Many to streamline the process. There was no one in the waiting room. And they have, so you had a gown, I had gloves, and I had eye shields on that they gave me. And they then had disposable things on the seats. They didn't use anything that caused the misting of the water. Everything was complete immediate suction, cleaning. They usually do this, you know, where they put the kind of a baking soda, and it causes a lot of material to fly around. And they didn't do any of that. So their whole thing was to minimize contact, to minimize the dissemination of anything airborne, anything. And then they took the items that they gave to me before I left, and they put them in a red bag, and they escorted me out the side door, and they had me pay remotely by my cell phone.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a good experience. The first one, not so good. I'm glad I left, but the second one was quite good.
Did you have a conversation with the folks at the first one?
Well, yes, I did. I know them. And the interesting thing is, I would say that dentist is much younger. The second dentist, I think he was protecting himself and his staff as much as he was protecting the patients. And
absolutely.
So therefore, they were very hypervigilant.
And Harold, I had my dentist right before the pandemic, so I didn't get this VIP service.
Well, you know, it's, you know, right before, you know, it's every 6 months, you know, you've got a trip coming.
Yes, I'm due. I'm due for my follow-up, yes.
Yes, and, you know, and so am I. And so that, you know, that's really good to hear because the, you know, the detail that you just shared, you know, Dr. Woodhouse, is important because I can't honestly say that I would have expected all of that. But yes, I would have, you know, I certainly would have been much more comfortable and with, you know, with that, all of the PEE armor, for lack of a better term, that was used there. And the reason I ask this is because obviously neither one of you are dentists. But, and this is for Dr. Forrester, how are you doing things differently when you are seeing your patients in person?
Well, as a provider, I also have my PPE equipment on. I have my mask and, if necessary, a face shield or a gown. But because I screen my patients beforehand, because a lot of these patients themselves come in with their PPEs, we don't have to actually give them or charge them for the PPE. But I wear my PPE at all times, and my staff as well. We're always maintaining a clean environment in terms of cleaning the rooms in between the patients, and the rooms are so staggered and separated that there's really minimal interaction between the patients. And so we maintain such space and social distances, and you know, everyone is completely gowned up and protected, that it is generally a very safe environment to come in. And usually you come in, you get your visit done, and you leave. And, you know, you're probably the only person in the waiting area before the next person comes in. So we make it a point at this location to really maintain social distance and put all these measures in place. And it's been working very well for our facility.
How do you keep yourself from seeing patients and just trying to, you know, under the pandemic atmosphere, from, you know, getting them in and getting them out, you know, doctors pre-pandemic, you know, a lot of times you would go to your doctor's office and, you know, doctors have a lot of patients that they have to see anyway. And they want to try to balance good care with efficient time management. But now with, you know, with workplaces, I mean, even people that are moving back to the office are not doing full days. They're doing half days. And so, you know, in my mind, if I needed to go see my doctor, I'd want to go in and say, okay, doc, this is what's hurting me. Look at it real quick. Give me the medicine. Okay, bye. You know, and I know it sounds funny, but, you know, I'm really, really, you know, and I love my doctor to death. He's great. But I'm not trying to spend a whole lot of time around there. I don't care if you've got Mr. Clean standing at the door. So how do you balance that, you know, the best care with, you know, time management, trying to get them in and get them out? I mean, what's going through your head?
Well, the balance actually comes in play if you do a lot of your prep work ahead of time, you know, especially if it's a new patient that comes in. If a lot of the information that will take a while to put in, their history, their physical, their medicines, if all of those things are pretty much done ahead of time, it minimizes the amount of time you're actually sitting in there with the patient. So a lot of the prep work is done. ahead of time, not only with the medical assistant, but with the patient in the information that they actually are able to provide. And if you're coming in for a follow-up where you've already been seen, we pretty much know what we're coming in there for. You come in, we address the issue. We make sure all your meds are up to date. We make sure your prescriptions are sent. So you leave knowing that everything is taken care of, but you're not spending an hour waiting in the waiting area. You're not spending an hour waiting with the provider. So we're able to actually do everything because we're able to do things ahead of time and pre-prep for the visit.
Mm-hmm. I only have a few minutes left, and I'll start with you, Dr. Woodhouse, as you begin to, well, not begin to, but continue, I should say, to navigate patient care. Some final thoughts about what you believe, you know, your patients should know, or anyone who has, for example, a heart disease or heart concerns about seeing their doctor right now.
Yeah, I would say that doesn't change pandemic. The pandemic doesn't change that in regard to the level of service, the level of quality, and the attention to detail that's necessary. And because we're busy all the time, I think that, you know, especially as a cardiologist, the efficient appointment is just the norm. But leaving time that's necessary to answer questions and engage so that they don't have to come back so quickly again. So you're better off taking an extra 2 minutes than to make sure that things are, you know, under control and packaged nicely so that there's no return. But I think the level of quality, attention to detail, and the being cognizant of the fears and concerns, but realizing that there's COVID and there's chronic diseases, and we want to make sure that one doesn't outpace the other.
Final thought from you, Dr. Forrester.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with Dr. Woodhouse. The most important thing is to kind of remember that the things that we can do, the preventive measures we can put in place, the modifiable risk factors that we can change with reducing the stress, exercising regularly, maintaining a healthy diet, you know, removing all of these things like cigarettes and smoking, getting enough rest, and taking care of our mental health. These are things that we can do in addition to, you know, making sure you have a good primary care provider, you're coming in, you're up to date with your immunizations, you know, you're doing your blood work, you're checking your blood sugar, you're maintaining good blood pressures. So the things that we can do as a unit in healthcare is what we definitely stress and emphasize. But, you know, we're here as primary care providers, we're here as your advocates, we're here as your support, and so there should be complete access to us. So whether it's telemedicine or you're coming in person, you should definitely reach out to your doctors with any questions regarding your health. And that's really the most important thing. There shouldn't be a delay. And so we're putting things in place where we can, in the midst of a pandemic, we can still maintain good health.
Dr. Omicher Idoko-Forrester and Dr. Sheila Woodhouse, thank you both so much for spending some time with us and sharing your expertise. And as always, both of you, please stay safe.
Thank you as well.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.